something went on here, something went on there. And
this time on TNT.
The Torrance family's back in Halle from Cali.
I had to deal with these fridge guys.
And we play Canadian 80s, the Bob Rock edition. That's all coming up right now on TNT.
Hey, bud.
So tell me everything. We've been trying to line up a time to do the pod for
a couple days.
Yeah.
So yeah, today it's been one thing or the other.
It's been.
Today it was, we were just kind of figuring out the morning, and then I had to deal with this fridge to come in.
Why does the word deal with is so funny to me in this context? Because nothing is just, the fridge showed up. You do have to deal with it.
Yeah. Well, they have to deal with it, but I got to deal with the guys bringing the fridge because they're taking the old, it was the fridge from like when we bought this place. It was the original 1991 fridge.
Yeah,
original. So we just put it in the garage just for refrigerating stuff because the freezer in the winter doesn't work when it gets really cold.
Interesting. So anyway, what do you mean?
I think it's like below minus like 16 or something. Freezers like cease.
Come on. I didn't know that.
I guess you have to have like a super fridge or a freezer or whatever to have deal with that. But the garage, sometimes if it's like minus 30 out, then for sure that's going to be an issue. So
is this only with fridges? Yeah, of course, because it's never minus 30 in your home. So this is only for secondary fridges. Is there heat in the garage?
No, but it's insulated. So it's like, it's like, it doesn't stay warm though. Like if it's freezing, it's cold and freezing in there. So it just becomes a product of what's around it. But you'd have to have a heater in there to kind of keep it warmer. But yeah. So yeah, it's in there. Got to wait 20 minutes or something before you turn it on. And it's literally one of those like classic, like white fridges, like top and bottom.
This is the new one?
Yeah, like super generic looking, like prop in a kitchen.
But this is just for a secondary fridge for the garage.
Yeah, for the garage.
Overflow freezing.
Totally, yeah.
Yeah. I had never seen a secondary fridge before. My mother-in-law, who's extremely organized and dialed, and if any, it's a holiday, stores are closed, no problem. She has extra butter. She has extra eggs. Like, she's always ready to go.
It's when there's deals, especially nowadays, there's rare deals on stuff. So, like, yeah, when butter's, like, instead of being $9 and it's reasonable, you buy, like, 4 or 5 of them, whatever you can. And you put them in the fridge for sure. There's a couple extra sticks right now in there.
I love that you say the guys had to deal with it, but the truth is you start dealing with it the second you recognize there's a problem, the second you're trying to pick a day that works for delivery,
sure.
The second they're like, we'll come between 8 and 2. You are dealing with it, waiting for these guys, then they don't show up.
They came right on time, though, I gotta say. They said noon, and they showed up, or whatever it was. I can't remember the time, but whatever time they said they were coming, it came at that time. But, yeah, it was pretty. And they were fast, so I got, no complaints with the
So the who was it?
Couple dudes.
So are they, like, couple dudes with a truck? Who, they're a middle person between the appliance store?
Yeah, and like, you buy the thing and then deliver it, and then, that's it.
Okay, so they work for the appliance store.
Yeah.
What'd they charge you to take your old hog away?
Nothing.
So as long as you buy a new one, they'll take it.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Did you whack them down on the price at all?
No, not at all. No, it's just total standard one time.
Does it have a ding in the side and so she was marked down already?
No, it's fresh. No, not even. It's not even like a Kijiji or...
is it like full size or like a mini fridge?
Yeah, it's like if you buy like a condo and there's like a fridge and it's like full size fridge.
It's like, or you can upgrade.
right.
Wait, so it's split down the middle or no? You said top and bottom.
Top and bottom, yeah, totally. Like, no one ever is gonna look at the fridge twice. Looking fridge, you know what I mean? Doesn't. Hey, no one's ever going to say nice fridge. Yeah, it's not the one for Compliment.
You don't want Compliment.
No one's going to say nice fridge, but they're also not going to say, what's with this shitty fridge, right? Like, it's not.
Well, remember when we built our house, we did a kitchen through IKEA, and they had crazy deals on, and it's pretty quality kitchen. Obviously, the challenge is you have to put it together yourself or hire someone who does, better yet. And she said, do you want to throw appliances in? And I was like, with all due respect, no, we're going to get those elsewhere. And she said, why? And I said, well, because, you know, looking for a reputable name in appliances. She said, they are Whirlpool appliances in IKEA kitchens. They just don't say Whirlpool. Yeah. And I hope I'm not jinxing it by saying it out loud, but it'll be 11 years we moved into our house on Canada Day, and they still work a treat.
No problems, no broken doors, no nothing. No,
they're Sylvie's, and the freezer's on the bottom of the fridge. The handle on the oven needed some shoring up.
No, but how's the cabinets holding up? I mean, the IKEA.
Oh, yeah, they're great.
All good?
Yeah, we upgraded the countertop a couple years later.
Yeah.
And then, but the cabinets are fine. They still...
That's impressive.
The slow slam.
Even I have one, you know, broken cabinet door.
So what's the move there? Do you not keep stuff in there? Or everybody just knows and they go easy on it?
No, right now it's like we're trying to, I don't know, we don't know what's wrong with it. I think it's like it's a piece of hardware isn't working. So it's not like it's broke outside of the door. So it's not like it's not a huge deal. It's just a pain. So it's like where the bread is and the pot. So you have to like, when you open it, it kind of shifts a little bit. You know, it comes... So, yeah, we got to get it dialed.
So I would move like casserole dishes and stuff to that cupboard, like stuff you only use a couple times a year.
I know.
And upgrade another one.
But that's what happens. This is a high traffic spot in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Like everybody's going for bread at some point, whether it's breakfast or whatever, throughout the day. And there's all kinds of different bread down there. Everything from tortilla, like flatbreads, to like... croissants, which is the best move, you know, like the $5 at the store where they have the thing full of croissants.
Yeah.
And you can, the best thing about those is you can let them like get stale, like leave them for a week at least, because you toast them always, and stale croissants are great when they're toasted. So the best thing is like jam and butter and toast, like split it in half. Telling you, man, doesn't get any better.
Carol and I were having this conversation yesterday because we had a box. We cleaned the mud room, and there's a box of mini strawberry, chocolate, and vanilla Rice Krispie treats from a couple of years ago. Yeah. Maybe not even. Like, let's say...
6 months.
Six months ago. Yeah. In any event, they are past the best before date. And Carol said, and it's true, these things never used to have best before dates. So I'm going through the tedious practice of opening them all. There's probably 30 of them. And putting them in the compost and the wrappers in recycling.
Yeah.
Like, the joke always was when we were a kid that they had embalming fluid in them or whatever kept them good to go till the end of time.
Forever. Yeah. So what's up with that?
I know some things have an obvious and evident best before moment. You can tell when milk is off. But do manufacturers just put best before dates on things now so that you'll have to chuck it and get a new one?
Yeah, I think so. I think you're like definitely more than safe. I think a lot of things, they put expiry dates that don't even need them. Like certain, I don't know, like vinegars or ketchup. Condiments. They're putting like... and like I got, you know, like I've talked about that before where I think you should... People put too many condiments in the fridge, and it's okay to leave a lot of condiments at room temperature, even though it says keep it refrigerated. So there's all kinds of BS reasoning, but I don't know why.
Whose joke was it? Was it a George Carlin joke? Like, why is there an expiration date on sour cream?
Yeah, that's a one that can go bad big time. But yeah, that one you keep in the fridge. Anything that's like got culture, active culture, or... like mayonnaise, eggs, stuff. Like you keep that in the fridge, but most condiments, like your relishes and ketchup and mustard, like you don't need that stuff in the fridge. It's a waste of space.
You're a warm mustard guy.
Well, it's if I'm having a sandwich, or if something's hot and you put a bunch of cold mustard on it, that's the worst, right? Ruining your hamburger with big freezing ketchup.
Ringing your fillings.
That's the worst. Cold ketchup, even with a sandwich.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, like a hot barbecued sausage with ice cold mustard. Terrible. It is a strange sensation.
It's a bad idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, but no, I don't know. We're getting off topic here, but I don't know what we were talking about before.
Well, we're talking about dealing with the fridge guy.
Yeah, the fridge guy. Yeah. They're dealt with, the fridge guys.
That's good. You always want to feel as a consumer like you got something.
Yeah.
No, like you did okay.
I'm trying to think if there's been other things I've picked up recently where there's, you know, everyone loves a good back and forth, a transaction.
Yes, I do too.
You love it. I know that.
I love it. I also love that we're getting vehicles serviced, and I feel like
got a good bill with that story. I took my truck in to Audi, and it was unbelievable. Like I said, the steering's a little stiff. And so whatever, I get this rundown of like a filter needs to be replaced, and the drive shaft or whatever, you know, like the column, the steering column.
What? Like on the, they're saying we should replace it?
Well, there's it's kind of funny if you think about it, because they're like, well, you need it. You know, they didn't say you need a new steering column. They're saying it's column. They're saying like a steering. This is how much a steering column is. Like, here's the part.
Well, floating it.
Yeah. Like after looking at it and everything, they said, well, here's the price of a steering column. And, for your issue, whatever, like it didn't say like it's broken. Definitely you need the new one. It just said the thing, which was like $5,200 for the steering column.
I'm trying to understand the strategy. So they didn't say you need one. They just listed parts. So if you're like, okay, well, go for it.
Well, that's because, I was like, it was two other things, like a filter and some other stuff. And like, that's how it is with Audi or any of these companies. It was $15,000 is how much it would have cost. To have this stuff done. So I'm like, you know what? That's fine. I'm going to just take it and take it somewhere else. I took it somewhere else. It does European cars. And the guy's like, yeah, it was a little stiff and there was no grease in the middle of it. So I slapped on some grease at the knuckle or whatever of the steering column.
Good to go.
And I'm like, dynamite. Like, it's better than it's ever been, right?
2 ounces of bacon fat.
And then they like literally they did it in 10 minutes. They took it around the block and it was nothing. They didn't charge me anything for it. Oh my
gosh. I'm so naive.
Oh my God. Like if I was, you know, like Billy Buddy, right? The guy with the dough. Billy O'Neill.
Yeah.
Then you'd be, you know, like, oh, okay, damn, that sucks. 15 grand. Holy cat, right? Like, you pay it, no sweat. Like, man, that's expensive. But it's like, it didn't even need it, man. Like, I'm sure some of that stuff, like, on the list, like, could be replaced. But, like, for the whatever brand new models that they have, it's just...
I had a family member. She was getting some work done on her car. She went to pick it up. They said it was going to be, $2,300. And it was like, we had to, flush out the this and replace the that. And just to be careful, we did this. And she had a friend who knows about cars go in with her. And he was like, sorry, what is this? Explain to me what the process is here, what this procedure was, what parts were used here in this column. Anyway, I forget the numbers, but it went from like $2,300 to $1,100.
Yeah.
And he said, so you're saying this was an oversight? And they're like, yeah, that's never happened before. Just a mistake on our part. Which, no, it's not.
And no, it's I'm not. Telling you, it's got to happen all the time. If that's like, I'm sure some of that stuff needed to be done, but like, you can, a lot of these things, you can get a part that's from a car or a used car that's exactly perfect, no problem, for, you know, a 5% of the brand new part cost. And that's where they really get everybody. Stuff that could easily be replaced with just one that's not leaking or whatever, and pay a price, take it out of a car that's, you know, everything else. You know what I mean? When it's like a 5-year-old car where it's got a perfectly good oil filter change system or whatever stupid thing it is, and it works, and it's, instead of being $4,400, it's $600 in labor and, you know, $100 in the part.
My friend Matthew, who's a really smart cat and a business guy, said something that completely rewired my brain last week. He said airlines are in the business of running credit card companies because that's where the profit is. And it's so true. You assume an airline exists for the sake of like creating memories for people and getting people safely from A to B. Obviously it's a business that is designed and exists for the purpose of making money, but it's the same with car dealers make money on financing and parts.
Yeah.
They don't make money. If you want to pay cash for a car, they're like, all right, away you go. The best we can do is like a $450 in quotes administration fee. Yeah. But the way these places make money, as you know, is like, I want to buy a TV. How much is it? $29 a month. Okay, I'll take it till the end of time.
Yeah, and the problem is everybody's hijacked by airlines and a lot of other alternatives. Like, there should be light speed rail all over North America. Like, it doesn't make sense that they don't have high speed rail in North America, only for the fact that they didn't let it happen, all the airline and whatever companies that are stopping stuff from being done. Because you could get from Toronto to New York in, you know, like an hour or 2 hours or something, instead of like those 500 mile an hour rail systems that they have in Europe.
It's also just like a beautiful way to travel.
Yeah, and you're ripping, and you get there quickly. Matt, it just doesn't make sense that how many cities that are so close in the Northeast or the Southwest or in the South or wherever it is, that there could have connecting rails that are high speed. And it's makes no sense that the biggest economy in the world doesn't have it, yet you go to every other country.
Well, in Canada,
has the infrastructure, and they do it.
Halifax to Montreal is a 12-hour train trip on Via Rail, maybe 14. That doesn't make sense. But high-speed rail from Toronto to Montreal? I remember taking the limo liner from Boston to New York, and it was basically a sprinter van with lazy boys and lots of internet.
I remember, this is
a delightful way to travel.
I remember on tour, we had like a weekend off, and Rain and Duncan went to Paris to watch French Open. And it was like, we were in Germany or something. Like, it's like, just, they took the light speed thing down there in 40 minutes or whatever, and they're in Paris, like, no sweat.
That is the bougiest weekend.
Makes no sense. Yeah, right?
I've ever
going
heard
to the
of
French Open.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we were on a rip to California.
Yeah, how was that?
It was part of the reason why it was hard to pull a potty together. We went to Los Angeles for work, a place called Monarch Beach. I sent you a picture as we were passing through Manhattan Beach.
Yeah.
It was 3 days, maybe more, 4 days of sheets of torrential rain and mudslides. Yeah. And it's funny because at first, you see the weather people going like, folks, stay home, stay safe, check in with your loved ones. And you're like, it's drizzling. But you realize in that geography, a lot of rain is really problematic because of mudslides and what have you. And so I had a weekend off between gigs. We went to San Diego. Then I had a gig in Vegas. So We were in Los Angeles on Grammy Sunday and in Vegas on Super Bowl Sunday.
Oh my God. So you just felt the influx of extraness.
Well, I'm in Vegas on Super Bowl Sunday most years because of the way this gig times out. But what I didn't imagine is that Vegas is bananas on Super Bowl Sunday every year because people go to gamble.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the extra layer of it being in Vegas, the game itself being in Vegas and Taylor Swift being there, it was just wild. So we drove past Allegiant Stadium. We're just arriving in town kind of during the first half, which was pretty sleepy by all accounts. Missed the halftime show. And then we're in our room in time to watch the second half, which was crazy.
Yeah. Wow. So, like, yeah, you're right there. You got the vibes.
Did you watch?
I did. Yeah, I enjoyed that second half. It was great.
How about the fact that the 49ers didn't practice the new overtime rules? And arguably, yeah, that's what led to the difference.
Yeah, I mean, something so simple. I mean, I'm sure that's not really the reason, like, why they lost or whatever, but it was pretty weird to see that they weren't sure of all that stuff. But, I mean,
yeah.
Patrick Mahomes at this point, it can't really lose if he has the ball.
I know.
When it's on the line, it's just that guy just comes up with ridiculous ideas at work every time. Makes it like that final touchdown look like it was like no big deal. It could have happened in the first 5 minutes of the game. How open the guy was.
I know. Right?
So like whatever. Credit to Spagnola there, the defense genius. The way that that team kind of picked apart every other team's offense every week leading up to that was fun to watch.
Yeah, crazy. There's something so funny about the way Mahomes kind of walks around the earth. There's something so kind of fashion runway about it, or it just defies the typical quarterback.
And did you see he had the shirts off and he looked like anybody's like cousin on the beach?
Yeah.
So I'm like, what? Really? Come on. No way.
I know. I saw him making a joke about how he has a six pack somewhere under there. I wonder how his teammates feel when his wife is up on the grandstand accepting the trophy. And I guess just on a team like that, there is a hierarchy and you sort of figure out where your place is in the pecking order.
It's nuts. Yeah. Well, I think he's a good leader and he's like a true natural athlete. That's his thing, right? Like kind of like Ken Griffey Jr. who like never really worked out, but like was insane condition and great shape and could do everything better than everybody.
That Smurf voice, though. Well, I don't even know what it is.
Okay, guys, yeah. Get football.
Hey, well, what are you going to do? That's he's got what the Lord gave him for a voice.
Yeah.
He talks like, have you seen that clip where it says he sounds like Kenny Powers from that Eastbound and Down?
He
does sound like him for sure. That's pretty good.
Wow.
But yeah, I think... for some reason, I think it may be that, like, I don't know, that makes him, in a sense, cooler because he's not the typical Tom Brady, you know, like, looking this photograph, snapping sounds when he looks at you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not the big quarterback guy, the whole all-American quarterback guy with the big white teeth and the huge forehead. Right? Not every single time.
Tom Brady sure is.
Yeah, he is.
Imagine the number of hits that guy's taken.
Well, he seemed to avoid most of them for his whole career. He's actually probably, if you think about it, for the length that he played, he seems to be doing pretty well physically. Like, you look at someone like Dan Marino by the end of his career, that guy was basically... You know, his knees were messed, his hips were messed.
He couldn't stand up straight.
Yeah.
He was in permanent hut position.
John Elway. Yeah, for sure. Jim Kelly. Like all those guys, their knees are fucked already. But Tom Brady looks pretty decent still.
So does Sidney Crosby. What a season he's having.
He's got those tree trunk legs.
Does he ever? Still crushing it.
Yeah. Now, are you you're enjoying the surge with the Oilers? I'm sure, and you know the Leafs are like still winning, even though that somehow it seems like they lose really easy games too. So it's like there's no
and win hard ones.
It's amazing to it's great to be seeing what Auston Matthews is doing right now. But for a fan of the team, you just don't they definitely don't have the confidence of playoff depth. But
that because they're that's always the knock against them that they're individuals.
The goalie issue. Samsonov is like that guy was falling all over the place and had a rough go. He was good in the playoffs last year. Wall's coming back, but they're still not sure. So there's no like stud goalie vibes, which is huge when you're going into the playoffs. And again, the defense is still suspect. They're not as strong as they should be or could be. So it's hard to have confidence in that, you know, if you're thinking, but they definitely have probably the best offense in the league and when they're all playing well together.
When they're buzzing. Obviously, we're catching up a little bit because it's been a minute, but what did you think of Morgan Rielly running that map?
I think that's both ways. I mean, I'm not a fan of aggressive behavior, but like, it was a kind of a dirty move to clap that one in there, and the Leafs have been kind of seeing that. That's happened like two or three times where something disrespectful has happened to either someone hurt a key player, or a dirty move on a key player,
and no one's answered
a penalty, and no one's done shit, right? So I guess that was it. Like he's one of the big four, and he's got to make a statement, and that's exactly what that was. The guy got up. He didn't really get hurt. He was fine. So whatever. I guess that's good for the Battle of Ontario that's been kind of fizzled out in the last little while.
Did you see Torts?
Love Torts.
His comments on like the basically kids these days. They asked him what he thought of that, and he's like, look, the game's different. These athletes, they're just different. Basically saying everyone's soft.
They're all soft? Well, yeah. I mean, I think it's also like the all the bullshit that's been going on with hockey. And, you know, hopefully a lot of that aggressive mentality in the locker room has been kind of settled down a little bit, you know? And like, this could be a product of, I don't know, like you can call it the wokeness that's hit, but this wokeness is completely necessary because it's transparency and bigotry and name calling and chirping the shit out of each other all the time. Like that stuff is really, after if you think about it, it's old. Like it's nonsensical. It doesn't make sense, you know, to be just breaking everybody down all the time. So that's probably a product of it. They're over that bullshit. They don't want to hear you talk about somebody in derogatory ways or that stuff. So maybe that it's offends some of the old school mentality, but that's how it is. It's just kind of, if you speak to most kids these days, they don't tolerate bullshit, and it's like they don't tolerate real bullshit.
Amen.
Yeah,
let's take a break, bud.
Hey Bob, we're back.
So it's a day later.
Full disclosure, day later, day older.
And I'm posted up in my vehicle outside the girls' dance class.
Yeah, and I'm upstairs in my bedroom.
Like, when they have a dance class that is an hour, it makes sense to stay in town. Yeah. But when they have a few dance classes in a row or something, it makes sense to go back and forth. This is a one-hour banger.
Yeah.
And every time you go to town, you don't want to just, like, do a bunch of errands and spend a bunch of money for no reason. So this is the perfect thing to do. in the time that they are in dance.
And in a true Taggart and Torrance fashion, we created a game called Canadian 80s Rock Jams with Jonathan. And Jonathan has to guess the song
Canadian that 80s. I play. So let me preface it by saying I had three older sisters. My influences were very different than your influences in terms of what was playing around the house.
Sure.
Also, my mom commandeered the record player maybe more than anyone else. So that's where the Barry Gibb, Barbra Streisand, Guilty gene comes from.
And also the...
Yeah. No, that might have been me, just innately.
That's just you.
Whoa. That's just me. But the there was some Rex Smith in our house and some Police. There was a bit of Burton Cummings, the Muppet soundtrack. But my
did you have that album with the big sweaty face with the smile? Was that around?
I had the 8-track, sure.
Of the Burton's face all sweaty, smiling?
Yeah. On the 8-track. And who else? Like, I guess what I'm saying is I have huge rock gaps. I have huge rock knowledge gaps in 80s Canadian rock. Okay. So I'm excited. I'm looking at this as a game, but also as a chance for you to educate me on, fill my holes, Jeremy.
I'm not filling your holes, really, because there's enough to go around that's not full-on rock jams. But there's a lot of... It's a lot of cock in this rock 80s.
Okay. I'm into it. So I'm going to try to identify. Let's start with it to see if I can identify the band.
Okay.
And then bonus points for identifying the song.
Okay, here we
go. And then
let's...
if I can't do either of those, if I can at least say, oh, yeah, I know where this is going. This is the ba-da-ba-ba-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da
pretty much
softballs
underhand. Yeah.
You say that now. Let's try.
Like if we're in the car, you're just going to be snapping and clapping right on the beat.
Yeah. The snap ride cymbal going right in your ear.
That video of Justin Trudeau smacking, clapping all hard. Well, I think it was at the world's, the girls, the hockey, the women's hockey game that he was at.
Yeah, what was going on there?
Yeah, I don't know. It was a really like powerful clap that was just like, I don't know. It's almost like when there's someone like beside you and you're trying to actually get in their ears, like just. It was so super aggressive, but it reminded me of when you clap in the car, like how loud it is.
It's so loud. It's so loud. I wonder why some people can clap way louder than others. In the case of Trudeau, let's give it the best case scenario and the worst case scenario, because a lot of people were saying the GAC. Okay. I don't believe it was that.
Oh, no, I don't think so. No, for sure.
But is the best case scenario that he was just extremely enthusiastic and he's, you know, he's a fit guy and can clap really fast?
I don't know. Maybe it was a couple too many, like, freedom fighters on the way in, maybe.
So his adrenaline was kind of pumped?
Yeah, like, you know, he's risking it a bit. Going into out and into the hockey game, and probably got some chirps. I don't know. Maybe somebody was like bugging him. I don't know. But it's unexplainable to me, that kind of aggression, that clap in the face. But like, you know, that's Trudeau for you.
By the way, I was boarding a flight on our way out of Halifax a couple weeks ago, and there was a woman. I'm gonna guess around 60, maybe in her early 60s, wearing a PWHL sweatshirt. And I said, isn't that awesome that they're setting records? And she was very proud to tell me that Marie-Philippe Poulin had given her that sweatshirt. And I think, nice. So cool for the women that are playing now. But
yeah,
how cool is it for the women that couldn't, the first women that did, the women of generations gone by, for them to witness this milestone and know that the people playing now are standing on their shoulders, like, really cool. And the fact that that league is setting attendance records is just awesome.
Amazing to see and love it, for sure.
Me too. Because I'm sure a lot of the pushback was it won't draw. No one's going to go. No one's going to buy tickets. And to see it, that being proven otherwise is the best. And I'm pretty sentimental, but you see an 8-year-old girl in a jersey watching a professional women's hockey league game, like, come on, it's the best.
No, for sure. And it's also just to see people love to watch high performance sports.
So, yeah.
I mean, look at every other league that's put money into it. And women's soccer has been the difference in 10 years, how big it's gotten. So yeah, it's great. Funding all performance sports and getting everybody involved is only great for all economies, for sure.
By the way, like the Halifax Thunderbirds lacrosse team pack them in really big.
Ribbon?
It's men, but I just love that there's a professional sports team here. There's a soccer team here as well. But no, I just love that this lacrosse team is pounding the people in seats. It's the best.
I love it. So listen, here's
can you tell I'm stalling? First, okay, Canadian 80s Rock Edition.
The first jam. You ready? Hopefully you can get the audios all right.
The Bob here. Rock Edition.
Set the big. Oh no. Here it comes.
Oh yeah. Sounds like the Spoons.
Like what?
The Spoons, but it's not, is it?
Yeah, no. It's not, but it's definitely that era. Like, it's white shirt, skinny tie, tight pants, dancing.
Like, is it Carol Pope? I know it's out of fashion, and
it's but I can't help it. It's Martha and the Muffins, Echo Beach. Oh, wow, okay.
Didn't know that.
I should take it to the chorus, though, to give you the fair shot. Starting them off the top is a little risky, you know?
So that's called Echo Beach.
Yeah.
I feel like we've played that song the on the pod before.
The free chorus is pretty hokey.
Like Martha and the Muffins might be like TVO. Like, was that a real Toronto band, or did they enjoy some success across the country?
Martha and the Muffins. This song was a Canadian hit. I'm not certain of its American success, but it was big.
I definitely know the name of the band and the song.
It takes a while for the Echo Beach far away in time.
You don't say.
Part. Hopefully we're going to the chorus this time.
Isn't this the pre-chorus again?
Yeah.
How many minutes in are you?
2.5 minutes. Maybe it's like an outro part or something. Not a chorus. Is it this long?
Wait, there's a solo before the chorus?
Well, I don't know if it's a chorus now, if it's like it's more of an outro.
Why would you sit on the best part of your song till the end? Do you know why? Because people had time back then.
That's right. Anyway, okay, we got there. That was, this next one will be easier. That's my bad.
By the way, is Echo Beach an actual beach in Toronto, Ontario?
I don't think it's anything until there's a venue there now, right? There's the music venue, Echo Beach, there.
Oh, there is.
Which is in not far from, I guess, Cherry Beach, but near like the CNE grounds.
Got it.
Okay, are you ready for this next one?
Yes.
I just get worried about these verses, but you'll know this one, I think. Yeah. Give me a kiss. Give me a kiss. I want to find out what I missed.
No idea.
Don't leave me now.
Come on.
It's not Honeymoon
Suite. The Northern Pikes. Teen hey, okay. Land. Teen Land.
Wow.
No, Teen Land.
So obviously I know the Northern Pikes, Kiss Me You Fool. And yeah. I know I had two jobs. Okay. I had dishwater hands. I know that. She ain't pretty.
Okay. All right.
And anyway, I know Kiss Me You Fool. Land. I did blanked on Teen Land.
But yeah, this is good. This is awesome.
Do you know what? I guess I was in my head I'm like braced for Max Webster. But this is much more than I thought it would be.
I know, and that is probably what maybe like it was still a single notable. It was earlier, but I figured if you knew Soul City, you'd know Teen Land. But I guess like it's a it's different.
Well,
like
I have really
Soul
weird
City, like you know,
I have really
Soul
weird
City.
Knowledge, like. Like Doug Smith, Mona with the Children. Like, I know that, but I don't know monster hits. I don't like know why.
You'll rip out Barney Bentall, like, top to bottom.
Yeah. He's a bot.
Teen Land. Okay, maybe this one, obviously, hopefully.
I would like to blame the programmer for CFCY in Charlottetown in the 1980s. It's also their fault to a degree.
I thought you were blaming me, the programmer, for this game being so far 0-2.
Oh, by the way, I'm enjoying it and learning a lot. This is great. I'm not sweating it. It's fun.
I feel like I kind of want to keep like not go with the home run and just keep going with these like what I thought were softballs, but they're turning out to be like full overhand fastballs.
I know. I'm 0-2.
But the catcher's glove. Heat. The catcher's glove has got a big smack too. Like they're not, it's not softballs. It's like smack. You know, those really hardcore pitches that are coming in and
it's the gloves underhand, all the but dust. You're whipping it.
Okay.
Okay, hit me. Yeah, where are you? What are you waiting for? This is not a race. Tokyo Rose.
Yeah, you're in that.
Right away. Where are you? What are you waiting for?
Where are you?
Yeah.
What are you waiting for?
Yeah.
This is not a race.
I don't think I can remember anything else from Idle Eyes. Can you?
Is that the band, Idle Eyes?
Yeah.
Tokyo Rose. That's a jam.
It is a jam. It's kind of one of those ones you're like, oh, yeah, man, for sure. It's like kind of, you know, doesn't sound like it came from anywhere. It doesn't sound Canadian, that's for sure, right? If there ever was a sound.
I just looked it up.
It's got its own thing.
Tokyo Rose, 1985. That was definitely their biggest hit.
Sure.
Blue Train in Your Room to a Boat, I Won't Forget. Wow. Peaked at number 16.
Stains on your chin?
Is that what it is?
No, I think he says stains on your clothes.
Oh.
At one point, but your version's a little more.
Yeah. It's not how I remember it. Okay, so I'm 1-3. I'm back in her.
Okay. Had a great time in Tokyo. Let me tell you a little bit about what happened.
There's stains on my chin. I like exotic destination hits. Like Bangkok, okay. Oriental Setting, and Tokyo Rose.
Who's that one again?
China Girl. Like they're all, yeah, the category's all Asian inspired songs. Thai,
oh, wow.
Need answer. Okay.
Okay, here we go. You know this one. They feel the shoulder pads in the suit. She's a cool You mentioned her before already.
Carol Pope.
Yeah.
So is this Toronto?
Rough Trade.
Rough Trade, that was it.
High School Confidential. Yeah, yeah, okay. This was featured in an early pod for sure. A lot of these.
I would have known the chorus for sure, and I know her name. Who is in the band Toronto?
I don't know, other than there's an A&R guy that we used to have from Sony, Mike Roth. He was in Toronto for a spell.
Was he?
Yeah.
Because they had a hit.
They had a hit, yeah. I can't remember it, but...
Rough Trade, Carol Pope, nice.
Okay.
Greatest Hits album by Toronto. Your Daddy Don't Know, Looking for Trouble, Enough is Enough, Start Telling the Truth. All I'm saying is I hope there's some Honeymoon Suite coming down the pipe.
You really?
Yeah.
You hope? Because I don't think this is...
And some Haywire.
Oh, this is kind of wild. Yeah. It's amazing. There's a lot of songs on here that I've thrown me right back.
Forgotten about?
No. Okay, I'm trying to just go. I'm going like all the way down to the bottom just to get a good feel to go here.
So you can pick and choose?
Yeah, I don't want to forget something here.
Been singing a lot of karaoke lately.
Yeah, where, like at home?
Just yeah, dialing just firing karaoke home while doing the dishes.
On the TV?
No.
Or just singing along
sometimes
with stuff?
On the TV. But just like fire it up on the old lappy.
So like with the lyrics going and everything?
Yeah.
So it's like the cheap like 8-bit version of the jam always with the big reverb drums?
Yeah, exactly. I can't do any Bruce Hornsby karaoke because the piano just doesn't sound the same.
Yeah, for sure, right? That's yeah, the big, the Casio keyboard.
Yeah.
Okay, here you go. You ready?
Mandolin Rain's not bad. Yeah, I'm ready.
Audio's just poor, I thought.
That is a softball.
Yeah, it is.
Sunglasses at Night. You know what's funny? We were driving down the off-ramp on the way here, and for some reason out of nowhere, I said, "Nowhere!" And Indigo was like, yeah. What? What is that?
You just threw it out there?
Threw out a nut.
Just for old time's sake.
Yeah, classic. Sunglasses at Night.
I think if I could say it like that, I would throw that out there for sure. Okay.
Do you stand behind the success of Corey Hart, songwriting and performance-wise?
Yeah. And he, you know...
Like, you get why he was a star.
I don't get why he was a popular star around the world, no, but I get that he was popular.
Yeah, he sure was.
Right? Because he was kind of one of those, oh, that guy can kind of sing, but it's not, like, super singing. You know what I mean?
I don't know,
like,
man.
You know, when you hear a voice, you're like, I think I can sing like that. Like, it's like a reachable kind of voice, which is... There's a difference, you know what I mean? Where it's like, I think I could sing like that. But obviously you can't, and it's not the same. But
if you tried the bridge in It Ain't Enough, I know I'll never don't even know be afraid to say I'm here by your side, yeah. I'm gonna stay. That's hard.
Yeah, I know, but you can sing well. I guess that's... no one's going that deep. I'm thinking of this jam here.
Just a little closer to you, yeah.
I don't wanna bag on Mr. Hart there. He's had his fill. He made a lot of money on Celine Dion jams too, right?
I'll say. Okay, hit me.
Celine Dion jams are good cash.
What's coming next?
Okay, hold on. I'm gonna have there. Here we go. Maybe I made the wrong decision. Hold on, I'm gonna do this.
Making it work, doing this vlog.
Yeah, that's right.
Terrific.
I made the mistake of going with Day by Day.
I love like, Day by Day, though.
It's a great jam, but it's just like, it's like I'm having a real rough time with starting these off the top, because even if you know the song, the verses sometimes, or even the intros, aren't even close to the jam. So whatever, we're having fun here.
I love Day by Day.
It is a great song.
That's a song that I haven't thought about in a long time. Day by day, it's getting stronger. Day by day. I like his voice on Make It. I know I'll make it.
Oh, they go right into the chorus. Here doesn't play. Hold on. Let's see what's... Okay, here it comes off the top. I think they're in the chorus by the first minute. We'll see.
I love that.
I don't count that till now, like here when the song starts, like 10 seconds. They're like, see, they're building it up, like, okay. I like that. Can't get the melody. Okay, so it's a double verse. Yeah, right, there we go.
Yeah.
Jumps right in.
Ramping it up now, bud. Right?
55 seconds.
And the last time through,
you'll help me make it day by day.
He's so
classic
good.
Classic example. Don't bore us, get to the chorus. But is they actually he? Meant, they put two verses in right there just to really take it up a notch.
He was a songwriter too, right? Like a songwriter for hire?
I believe so, yeah. Doug had some chills, some mad songwriting chops.
Yeah.
That was a good one.
Sort of a Dan Aykroyd kind of timber.
Dan Aykroyd classic.
Thank you for reminding me of that song. I loved that song at the time.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Hold on.
I can't even remember what I am. Like maybe 2 and 2 or 2 and 3.
I think you're 2 for 4, right?
Yeah, okay.
Maybe more? I don't know. We might have done more. Here comes another one. Ready?
Yes.
Don't know it. Come on. You just mentioned it earlier. The band.
Haywire?
No. You said, I hope there's some blank coming
up. Oh, Honey with Sweet.
Yeah, no chorus though. That's because I didn't play the chorus. Like, let me. Here, now you know it. Right?
Which one is this?
Stay in the Light? Come on, you haven't heard that one?
Yeah, I don't know Stay in the Light as well as I know. What's the one with the people on the beach? Wave Babies. And
I don't know.
You don't know Wave Babies?
Burning in Love?
I'm still a lonely man burning in love.
New Girl Now, you remember this one.
I got a new girl now and she's a lot like you.
Yeah.
He can throw down. I know those. I just didn't know the one you played.
Okay. Well, you know, that's this game. I can't remember the... like, if I remember it, I figure you remember it. But
Did you guys have, like, Q107 on in the house?
not in the house, but it was on enough either in the mornings at night or in the car and commuting around for sure. And the at 102.1 too.
Yeah, we didn't have that. Okay, I'm into it. What else you got? This is fun. It's a good combination of learning, learntertainment, and like stroll down memory lane.
Okay, here we go.
Yeah, working for the weekend. Yeah. Funny how if you know it, you know it in the first 2 seconds.
Yeah, for sure. I'm sure there's lots of bods out there, like, right away.
See what we can do. There's
a lot of people kicking back on a Saturday, firing these jams up.
Working for the weekend, tell me some other Lover Boy jams. Bright White Sports Car?
Hold on, I'm trying to get into the... Turn Me Loose.
Yeah.
Loving every minute of it.
Yes.
The Kid is hot tonight.
Whoa.
Yeah. Hot Girls in Love.
Yes. Man, they crushed it. I mean,
those are some jams for sure.
I wonder if they enjoyed success elsewhere.
Yeah. No, I don't know. Maybe. I think they had success in America too.
Holy cow. Sure. Heaven in Your Eyes was on the Top Gun soundtrack in 1986.
Yeah.
I remember that song.
Yeah, so they were pounding definitely North America and maybe probably Europe too, because I'm sure they were great live with the Frenettes there. Matt Frenette was a great drummer, is a fantastic drummer.
Okay, and that's probably all you needed. Like, if you were banging in North America, has song on the Top Gun soundtrack, you're all right. Mike Reno doesn't have to work.
Yeah. But they still, I don't know, I they've been playing of recent times, but that's not one you'll know.
What is
okay,
it?
Here you go. Prism.
Yeah, Gowan. Moonlight Desires.
Yeah. Moonlight Desires.
These moonlight, I was guest hosting Q a bunch of years ago, and it was in the summertime and, you know, just basically covering on vacations, and I got to do opening essays, and sometimes they were about important things, and sometimes it was like, what do you want to talk about? And I was like, you know, I want to talk about Gowan.
You wanted to talk about Gowan.
Yeah, so I wrote an opening essay on Q about Gowan. I don't
just
know if he ever got
into
his due. No, I didn't rip into him. I celebrated him.
No, I was saying in a positive way, rip in. I mean, just rip it, tear into some Gowan for breaking it down.
Like, Moonlight Desires is a great song. Remember when, I think our first ever live show was in Winnipeg, and it was on the same night that...
Oh, that's right.
Styx was in town.
Yeah, we saw them.
We saw them. Their bus passed us.
Yeah.
As we were walking back to the hotel from the gig.
Yeah, I think I might have played in a Juno Cup with him too, and I think I've met him in a couple like Air Canada lounge times. Yeah.
And by all accounts, just a sweet dude, right?
Yeah, definitely, for sure, yes. And a very talented, great
big
singer,
time.
Great piano player.
He crushes those Styx songs.
And yeah, and you know what? He's been in that band for like, I don't know, 20 years or something now? Like, it's been a long time.
Yeah.
So he's had some good success with that. I'm proud of that.
Good for you, Lawrence Gowan.
Yeah.
Sometime we should play. One more. Sometime we should play. Did they have to give up their passport? Like, what passport do they carry? Like Shawn Mendes, does he have a Canadian passport or a U.S. one? Would you, if you had to guess?
I think he still lives here. I don't know. I think he still lives here.
What about Gowan?
I think he still lives in Toronto as well. Yeah, for sure.
So who he just else? Has an 01 visa?
Yeah, he just travels out when they go to gigs. Probably goes to LA to rehearse or whatever else.
Okay, Avril Lavigne.
I think she lives in LA.
Rain and Chantal.
LA.
So do they have American passports?
I think they have green cards.
Yeah. Yeah. Buble.
They've lived down there for 20 plus years. Okay, here comes your jam right here. Get your ears ready.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
I mean, this isn't 80s at all. But it's awesome.
Sweet City Woman?
Yeah. I don't know what the hell this is doing on there, but I couldn't pass it up because it's such a sweet jam.
By.
Oh, yeah, it's a great jam. It's awesome. Like, this song's on. You're feeling good. You're all set.
Making some bacon Saturday morning?
Anything. Try having an argument and then listening to this. You turn it off because it's you want to be mad and it's going to wreck it.
The Stampeders.
Yeah. Hey, you know, like, you're like, I want to be mad. You can't turn this on.
Yeah, you can't stay in a bad mood with that song on.
Like arguing with big flipping huge slippers on, like big baseballs for slippers, and you're in a fight.
I'm gonna tell you something, bud. Speaking of Stampeders, the Nova Scotia Stampede is coming to Truro. It's a brand new event in September, and it's gonna be a few days of like rodeo events, but also concerts.
Hmm.
An East Coast Stampede.
What? Who do you know of any of the acts yet?
I don't. It hasn't been announced yet, but I know that it's in September, and I know this is Truro's big moment in the sun.
So there's going to be some big bands coming.
I think so.
All right. Well, we'll have to cover it.
Yeah.
Keep an eye on it. That's exciting news.
There you go. Stampeders. That's Truro Stampeders.
Well, that was a great week, bud. Good chatting.
Yeah, good chatting. That was really fun. Thank you.
Yeah, we'll talk soon.
That's when we'll talk.